It's good to be back with you again. I know we pop in every once a year or two or three, but things are going well in Canada. I got a report through a text message to Becky that the church there did fine, and they haven't killed each other yet. And so it's good for us to leave them and let them alone and let them realize to bear the responsibility. You know what? This is how it works. So again, we want to thank you for our visitors. We've been missionaries from here. They were missionaries that lived across the street from us in Taiwan, Pastor and May. And we got to know each other. I taught Sadie. I think you were about third grade when I taught you. and then when he came home to pastor his home church, then we've been here ever since. So we sure appreciate Galley Road and all you guys do for us. Give us the opportunity. Well, let's pray, and then we'll look into God's Word. Dear Lord, again, we thank you for the opportunity to be together. We thank you for everyone that's here. Lord, we know we've got many people out sick right now, and probably about half of us here are trying to get sick. I pray that you'd help us to get over that. Protect those that are stuck at home. Lord, encourage their heart and their soul, their spirit with your word. Help them to realize they're missed and we love them. Lord, right now we pray that you'd use your word to speak to our hearts. If there's anyone in here that's not saved, Lord, I pray that you bring massive conviction. And then, Lord, it's up to them how they respond. But I pray that you would work in their heart before it's too late. And Lord, for us that are saved, I pray that you would encourage us, strengthen us with your word, help us to grow spiritually so others could see you in us and so we can please you at the judgment seat of Christ. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's go to, I've got two different things I'd like to do if the Lord allows. John chapter 3, let's go there real quick first. John chapter 3, it's a short. I'm going to cover a little bit on salvation, first part, and then the second part we will go into some growth for those that are born again. You know, that's the hardest part about whenever you preach the Word of God in a church setting. You know, one-on-one or in someone's home, you kind of know where they're at. But when you have a group like this, we never know where anybody's at. So you always have to have some salvation and then some growth. If you skip either one, the sheep that are already saved get bored. They don't actually get bored, but they want more. But if you jump right there and leave the people that aren't saved yet out, then you just let a soul pass through your hands. And of course, they'll be saved, but it's a responsibility of a priest. So that's why I'm always trying to do two things or three things at once. Okay? So bear with me for a minute. We'll look at salvation just briefly. Now, briefly, I never know what I'm talking about. It'll just come out as it goes. Okay? So, John chapter 3, verse 1. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Just a little background real quick. Nicodemus was a religious leader. He's a priest, whatever, Pharisee. Religious leader. He's supposed to know this stuff, right? Just like when I was a young child asking the priest and the, I can't remember the names they called them. It was a priest, I guess, in our church. Going to the head guy and asking him about where I'm going when I die. You would expect someone that says they are a religious leader to know, right? Wouldn't you expect that? Just like if you go to the auto parts place. Well, that's not even true anymore. Never mind. That didn't work. It used to be the guy behind the counter had 30 years experience and would know what he's talking about. Now we have minimum wage people that, what do you want? I don't know what it is, you know, that kind of thing. But if you go to the dentist, let's use that. If you go to the dentist, you expect the dentist to have a degree and know what he's doing, right? Or the doctor, which is not true hardly anymore either. You expect the person that's the leader that has the degree or has the title to know what they're talking about. That's not true in religion. Absolutely not true in religion. And I was raised Catholic, then Episcopalian, and then I tried all the others, charismatic, and on down the list. And every time I'd ask them direct pointed questions, why am I here? How did I get here? And where am I going? No answer. I remember 10-year-old, I was 10, telling my parents off because they had no answers. Well, as long as you're sincere, you'll get there. What kind of answer is that? If I ask you how to get to Anchorage, now they could tell me, but if you ask me how to get to Anchorage, I have no idea. In fact, ask Becky, I stay lost. I stay lost. To me, getting from point A to point B is just an adventure of seeing the sights until I finally find it. That's just how I operate. I just don't really care. As long as I leave early enough, I'll get there. I don't care about directions. I know where I'm going. Down here is really irrelevant. That's just my opinion. In Taiwan, if you ask someone directions, the Chinese culture never wants to tell you they don't know because you make them lose face. So I used to drive around on my scooter trying to get somewhere, as usual, and asking directions, and each person would say, yeah. They had no idea, but they couldn't say, I don't know. So they go, yeah, over there. So I'd go there, around. Now, here's what I'm trying to say. You go to a religious leader and ask them how to get to heaven. How do I get to heaven? And they just, most of them will have a list. I know I was Catholic. I'm not picking on Catholics. Seven sacraments. Muslims, my daughter had to study Islam in college, and she said they have five pillars. Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, all this stuff. They all have a list. They have a list. And the little religious leader will hand you the list, and I always noticed at the bottom of the list, it said at the bottom, I always want the guarantee. When I buy a product, I want to know how long the warranty is. Always. In fact, I'm a sucker. I always buy the extended warranty because I drop stuff. Drop it in water or whatever, ruin it, that kind of thing. So if you look at the guarantee of all these religious lists, at the bottom it says, oh, by the way, if you do all of these things exactly the way we say, we're not really sure if you'll get there. Why would I do that? It's almost as bad as the directions that are usually printed in China for putting together things when you buy them. It's almost that bad. You're like, there's a page missing or... That's when you go to, and if you're really seeking the truth, religiously, I'm not picking on any specific, I'm saying anyone that doesn't tell you the absolute Bible truth of how to get to heaven, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't. They just don't know. And every time I get a religious leader, I push them and say, you're telling me if I do all these things, you're still not sure. That tells me you're like the guy in Taiwan telling me that the store is over there. You have no idea. And then my mom told me, as long as you're sincere, if I went south from here, I don't even know what's below it. If I went due south, if I was sincerely trying to get angry, but I went due south, sincerely, due south, would I get to Anchorage? I'm sincere. Someone told me. So you see my point? No matter how sincere you are, you're just sincerely wrong. That's true. Okay. What encouragement, huh? Okay. So here's a religious leader. Now, here's why he came to Jesus by night. Nicodemus, the leader, the religious leader that's supposed to know these things, saw what Christ was really doing. He knew enough Bible to know that's something special. If he's not just a prophet, he might be the Messiah. He's something very special. God is with him. Remember the Jews in Corinthians, the Jews require a sign. Jesus doing the miracles, Nicodemus having an open heart or whatever, boom. But here, notice he came at night. Why would he come at night? The same reason, if I didn't know what I was doing, the same reason I would go at night to some other minister. Because I didn't want my whole church to know, I didn't know what I was talking about. You see the point? A little cover. I don't want everybody to know I don't know what I'm talking about, so I'm going to go at night. That's my interpretation, that's what I see. So he came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Now that's true. Now, look what Jesus says to him. Verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You have to be born again. We know that, right? Now, I'm going to go through this and then we'll fill in the details. Born again. Why would you need to be born again? Let's stay with the story and then I'll add in some stuff for more clarity in just a second. Born again. Now, Nicodemus here is born again. He's thinking, well, let's see what he says. Verse 4. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Any adult would show up in crisis. You've got to be born again. His mind goes right to physical birth. Physical birth. Can I go back in my mother's womb and be born again? It's impossible. I'm too large. Doesn't work. This proves another point that your pastor has been teaching you forever and me also. We always live in the flesh. The human nature, after the fall, after the sin, after Adam and Eve sinned, we live in the flesh. That's why you see how evil. The more you know about the world, the more you really know about the world, not the propaganda on the news. The more you know, the more you see this world is just downright evil. Evil. People will cut your throat for 10 cents. There's, in Colorado Springs now, they're robbing delis. How much money is a deli going to have? In fact, Stan told me that somebody, or no, Rob told me, somebody came in with a $20 bill to get to the drive-thru and then only got $15 when they robbed it. So he lost $5 in the transaction. People are just evil. Okay, anyway. So, see what Nicodemus is doing? He goes, how can I go back in my mother's womb? Now, a good teacher always takes you from where you're at and leads you to where you need to go. A good teacher doesn't say, you're stupid. Like, let's say you understand it right here. There's nothing like right here. But that's where your understanding stops. But I want to start here and teach you. You know what that means? You're lost. I was in a physics class at Purdue, and I had an Indian. And I'm not picking on Indians. I mean, from India. I couldn't understand a word the guy said. Not a word. Not a word. And physics isn't exactly the easiest thing to begin with. I had no background. So I started with him going, and I asked, didn't understand a word. I quit. I couldn't get it. Because I couldn't understand what he was talking about. If Christ would have started over here and talked about the cross and all this other stuff directly, Nicodemus would be still standing there going, born, how can I get my mother's womb? What does that have to do with me getting in my mother's womb? A good teacher goes to where he is. So Christ lets Nicodemus set the topic. He goes to natural birth. He just said, how can I go back in my mother's womb? Right? So Christ goes to where he's at and leads him to where he needs to go. I'm staying here on purpose because you're going to see in just a second. Okay. Nicodemus said to him, okay, we got that. Verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born. Now look at this. In my Bible, I actually circle this. Water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Water and of the Spirit. Now, what I was trained as a Catholic was they say that's baptism. It's absolutely wrong. And I'll prove it. Nicodemus just said, how can I go back in my mother's womb? Christ comes in, sure, you need to be born of water. What's that sac called? Amniotic or something like that? I can't remember. You're born from the water. Water breaks, baby, not too long after. Born of water. Of and from are pretty closely related. Nicodemus, yes, you've got to be born of water, but you must also be born of the Spirit. When you're born of water out of your mother's womb, you're in Adam's image, you're a sinner, and you're a child of Satan. Do you understand that? So you see what Christ did there? This gets rid of all the garbage about baptismal regeneration right here. And it gets clear as we go. What I did is I circle water, I circle Spirit. Now go down to verse 6. That which is, now he's going to make it even more plain for Nicodemus. That which is born of the flesh. If you, that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So I circle Spirit in all those, and water and flesh. So you have Spirit equals Spirit, you have water equal flesh. He's talking about natural childbirth, born of water. That which is born of flesh is flesh. And if you stay unreborn again or not born again, you will die and go to an eternal hell because you have sin. So you have to be born of water to be a human being. If you're not born of water, you are not. You ain't there. I'll use my English. Born of water, born of the Spirit. If you're just born of water, a child of Adam, child of your parents, you're a sinner, you're a child of Satan, that really makes everyone one mad. Either you're a child of Satan or you're a child of God. The only thing that gets you transferred is being born again. That's it. It's really hard to think that everybody that is born is doomed to hell. But that's just the way it is. Just the way it is. Well, by the way, now don't get upset. If a baby dies before it can be saved, it goes to heaven. God does not impute their sins
on them. Because I've had people come up to me later and say, you're telling me if a baby's born as a child of Satan and then it dies before or whatever, or even abortion. Well, that's the funny thing about abortion. I personally, in my opinion, they're complete human beings. They'll have a full body. And they're going to, if their parents get saved, they're going to, hey, Mom, who are you? Yeah, Mom. I'm the one that you asked. But I'm still in heaven anyway.
That's interesting. Okay. Anyway, babies, don't worry about the babies or people that are autistic or mentally retarded. God never imputes or puts their sin on them. They're not accountable. Okay. I always have to say that because people always, if we're born a child of Satan, how in the world could God? No, 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 no. That's why the religious people made up a purgatory or some place for them to float around, or there's another place. I forgot the name. They didn't understand any of this stuff. Okay. All right. Born again. Born of water. So back to verse 5. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Okay. Now, does anybody still think that water is baptism? If we got that done, then we'll move on. I just thought I'd cover that. But I'm trying to show you, religious leaders may not even know what they're talking about. I know many pastors that are not saved. I know many religious leaders. In fact, if you turn on most of the television preachers, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but I'm just telling you, they're preaching something else. They're preaching, you're guilty, give me your money, and God will bless you. I have never found that anywhere. Isn't it funny how they can twist any verse? If you flip on the television preachers, they'll twist any verse that you can open up within 5 minutes to you giving them your money. It's just amazing. Sometimes they just start out and say, give me your money. They're getting done with the games of trying to cover it. They just tell you, give me your money. What I did to them was I saw them on television about a year ago, and some guy was saying, you want to be blessed? Send me your money. You want to be blessed? Send your money. So I dialed the number. I said, do you want to be blessed? Yeah. I said, send me your money. I said, well, then I called them back and said, you're a hypocrite. Well, no, we just take donations. I said, no. If you really believe, are you a hypocrite? Why are you working for this guy? If you really believe what he's saying, then send me your money. Well, you know what? I need to be saved. I'm a sinner. How do I get saved? We don't do that. We don't do that. They ran me around the preacher supervisors. I kept saying, I'm a sinner. How do I get saved? We don't know, but we just take money. Hung up on me.
Anyway, okay, enough of that. Okay, let's back up. Now I want to add something else. Well, let's go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse 4. Next chapter over. John chapter 4, verse 4. You must be born again. We're going to fill in some more details about salvation. If you think you're saved because you go to church, you're not saved. If you think you're saved because you got baptized or you went to Sunday school, that's not salvation. It's the wrong answer. We're not like the religious leaders that have a list and says maybe. We have the Word of God. Christ died for us, paid it all, and said, if you're born again, for sure. The thing that kills me about religion also, one last thing before we jump in here, they're always selling temporary life. Christ says eternal life, eternal life. He is eternal life. God is life, right? Life. But theirs is always temporary. Based on your actions. In other words, if you mess up, then you've got to come back to them. I think anybody that's lived in the world very long knows a con, right? Can't you smell a con there? Why would they? First, they don't know for sure. And then they say, I can lose it. That's just a rigged game to get me to keep coming back to their church to keep putting money in the plate. You see how that works? It's simple.
Simple. Okay. John chapter 4, verse 4. This is about Christ now. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria. Now jump down to verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. Sixth hour is noon. Their day starts 6. 6 p.m. Well, actually, it's 6 p.m. it starts. But the sixth hour is noon. I guess. I think I'm right. Okay, I'm right.
Noon. 6 hours. You know, half the time you read it, you're going, okay, it starts at 6. I know they're... That's the weirdest thing about the Jewish stuff is they start their day...
How's that work?
Friday night at 6 starts Saturday. Friday night at 6 p.m. Friday night at 6 p.m. starts Saturday. That's Saturday night. They have their night first, and then they have their day. It's the weirdest thing, because we're not used to that. So Friday night at 6 is Saturday night. Starts Saturday night. Then you have Saturday day. And then you have Sunday night. Sunday day. It's just... But the 6 o'clock is their head, not 12 like we do. So 6, the 6 hours up at noon. The 6 hour of light. So high noon. In Israel, over there in Israel, it's hot. Anybody been to Iraq or any of those kind of places? Nice and hot? Okay, I've never been there. Never been in a desert. Super hot. So you try to avoid noon. So he gets there at noon. Okay? He sits down at the well. He's tired. Verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Now, background. The hottest part of the day is when most people, the righteous people, the arrogant people, the religious people, the acceptable social people, stayed in. So at high noon, when nobody's at the water, is when the people that are not socially acceptable would go out and get their water. You understand how that works? The people that are looked down on in society would wait till the time there's the least amount of people there and they go and get their water because they don't need to be scorned and despised and looked down on every day. Jesus knows this and he's sitting there on purpose waiting for her. Okay? Verse 8. Oh, by the way, he didn't go, oh, how you doing? You want to come to our church? Welcome, welcome. What you see? He just goes, give me a drink. If someone walked up to you at Walmart and just said, hey, I like what you're asking, give me that, take it out of your basket, you're not going to be too happy about it. Nobody likes to be pushed. Christ just automatically, with authority, says, give me to drink. He's setting the topic about water. Verse, oh, by the way, when the Lord starts to deal with you and show you your sin nature and our problems, by the way, everyone here is a sinner. We sin on purpose with a plan. Not by accident. We're not tricked. It's not the devil that made you do it. It's not because you stumbled in the dark over something. We make a plan and we work our plan and we do it on purpose. We're guilty. If you want to say you're not a sinner, you just lied. So now you're one of us. Right? Sinner. Okay. Verse 8. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Verse 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him. Now look at this. Just think about how you would feel if you walk out there, you're despised, and here's some man saying, give me a drink. It's work. How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask this drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. She doesn't want to work to give some guy she doesn't know water. But she's not going to say no. Have you ever noticed how most people never tell you what they're really thinking? What their real motive is? It's always got some cover. I don't want to go out because it's cold. But you know, my foot's... we're lazy. She's just lazy. She doesn't want to do it. Now, she's a Samaritan that suffered the persecution from the Jews. The Jews despise the Samaritans. Okay? Which she hates. But all of a sudden, she's going to call that trump card. Why would I do that when you hate us? I mean, why would you want... In other words, I hate being despised, but right now being despised protects my laziness, so I'm going to throw it up. Have you ever noticed how we do that? When you get caught... As we're reading the Word of God right now, as we're reading the Word of God, God promises He'll use the Word to go into your heart and start to cut you. Whatever He is convicting you of, I have no idea, neither does anyone else in this room, but you do if you're saved. So we're talking about this woman, and the Lord's telling you, oh, yesterday or last week or over here and that. And it's funny how we'll get really nervous because we think everybody else feels the same thing. Pastor, I'm sure, has had the same, after at the end of the service, we're standing outside, people come by and say, how did you know I was doing this, this, and this, and this? I'm like, I never even said it. Listen to the tape. It's the Holy Spirit. What I'm trying to get at is the Lord will bring conviction. Do you see what she's doing? She's trying to cover her laziness by bringing in prejudice that she hates normally, but it gives her a way out. People will use any, like they say when you get in a fight, they say you throw everything but the kitchen sink. It's one of those deals. We'll use anything to cover ourselves. You see that? But you're... The thing you hate about the Jews is they despise you, but now you're wanting to use that to keep him from getting your water. Okay? That's what we do. I'm not going to be saved because... Oh, there's one. I'm not going to be saved because so many babies die. Remember Pastor was saying, we say we're holier than thou? When people say, I'm not going to church because there's hypocrites. I'm not going to go to church. There can't be a God because babies starve and kids get cancer. Children get raped. So they're saying we are more holy than God. If he's alive, he's a sinner because he allows that to happen. That's just raw arrogance. Don't worry about that baby and this baby and that baby. That's a cover for your unwillingness to admit that you're a sinner and deserve hell. That's all it is. Okay. Verse 9. Let's see. Samaria. Okay. Verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, now this is very funny, I think, very interesting. If thou knewest the gift of God, which is Him, okay, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him, which is Christ, and He would have given thee living water. Now watch this. The woman saith unto Him, Sir, that when he said living water, she's going... She's still, remember Nicodemus in the flesh? She's still completely blind, trying to get out of work. And he says, you could have asked of me of living water. She's going, how do you know you haven't even got a rope? Flesh. Now watch. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. In other words, you're not getting water out of there. He's not even talking about normal water. He said living water. From whence then hast thou that living water? Now her interest is piqued. Maybe I can get some water without having to get down deep in that well and lug it up. Verse 12. Art thou greater than our father Jacob? Here comes religion. Here comes religion. Which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. Here comes another excuse. Living water? No, but... You haven't got anything? Number two, are you greater than that? You see how people are always, if you try to tell someone that we're all sinners and they'll always say, what church are you from? It doesn't matter what church we're from. It doesn't matter what church you go to. They always want to pull it over to some label and then say, that's not me. No, no, no. What I'm saying right now works for everyone. It doesn't matter what building you go to. Or anything else. It's not a church. It's the truth. Okay? So, are you greater than them? She's trying to pull a little trump card on him. Trying to get him to shut up. Oh, well, no, I'm not. Maybe I don't have it. That kind of thing. It doesn't work. Verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. This water that you're drawing. Whosoever drinks of this well shall thirst again. Tomorrow, you have to come out in the heat again and get it. But, verse 14, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, she's still in the flesh, so what do you think she's going to think? What would you think? I cannot have to come back to this stinking thing anymore, burn up, and be despised by people. Give me that. She thinks it's like indoor plumbing or something. Look what she says. Verse 15. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, number one, I don't get thirsty, two, neither come hither to draw. Two things. Again, flesh and lazy. Flesh and lazy.
Give me that living water. I don't have to come out here. I won't be thirsty anymore. Number two, I don't have to haul all the way out here in the heat, avoiding the people, and take it all the way back. Lazy, 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 right?
The reason Christ is here is not because he's wondering if she's going to need this or want this. He already knew before he ever went. Back in verse 4 says, he must needs go through Samaria. He knew who was there, when she'd be there, and what she needed. He's not like us. We have to hand out and tell people we never know what they're going to do. He already knew. That's why he's taking this time. Okay, next. Woman answered, said, okay. Now that she's interested, before she was pushing him away, who do you think you are? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. Now he's got her interest. I want that living water. Oh, now he's drawn in. Now that the person's finally listening, what does God always do? Christ, God, Holy Spirit. Always. When you're finally down low enough in the hospital or some disaster, something bad happens to you generally, or at least the Holy Spirit is working in your life to bring conviction of your sin. When you're finally broken and you're wanting to know the truth. How many in here, before you were saved, were looking at the stars or praying saying, I don't know what's going on, but this can't be all. There's got to be something else. I think everyone in here probably did, or he probably would have never come and told you. You know something. She's interested. As soon as you're interested, I can prove from Romans, as soon as you're interested and you know you have a need, you know there's a problem, what is the first thing that God tells you? You are a sinner. There's no way to be saved. Why would someone want to be born again if they don't even know they have a problem? Look what Christ, now she's coming in. What does Christ do? He always does this. He puts his finger right on their core sin. Look what happens. Oh, give me this water. Give me this water. So we hit verse 16. Watch. Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband and come hither. Christ, remember the rich man came? The rich ruler? Oh, he came running up, slid in the sand in his knees and making a big show in front of everybody. Oh, Lord, how do I, whatever, get in the kingdom or something? I can't remember exactly. And Christ says, keep the law. Oh, I've done that since I was a young child. I've kept all the law. Christ goes, okay, now he's interested. He goes, sell everything you have, give the poor, and come follow me. That's his root problem, his greed. He's got up and walked away. Big show. Christ always just goes, poof. So right now, through the Word of God, he should be pointing, if you're not saved, he should be pointing very directly that you and I are all sinners, period. Dead, busted, guilty. The wages of sin is death. Okay? So, go get your husbands. Now watch what she does. She's still totally in the flesh because she's not born again. She's still playing this game. Look at her answer. The woman answered said, I have no husband. The best thing we can do as people is learn that God already knows everything. He knows our intent, our motive. Not what you're doing, because that's really irrelevant. It's your motive and your intent. He knows all of that. So she's lying to God. I have no husband. Let's see if that slides. Watch what Christ does. Instead of saying you're a liar, look what he says to her. I've used this many times on people because it's so funny. I think it's hilarious personally because I know what he does that to me. You're not going to con God. Stupid. You want to talk about stupid? God is more pleased when you're just what you are instead of trying to act or cover what you really are. Okay. I have no husband. Jesus answered said unto her, verse 17, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that way that I've explained your phrase, okay, in that sayest thou truly. He didn't say you're a liar. He said, oh, if you mean you have no husband, you actually mean you have five, and now you're living with a guy you're not even married to. If in that you meant I have no husband, then you're correct. He didn't say you're a liar. It's so funny when someone lies to you, but you know the truth. Oh, if you mean all of this, then that's true. They just... Because it shows you know they're lying without actually just telling them they're a liar. I think that's hilarious. How would you feel if you did that? That's what I meant. Caught. Now, what would your response be if you just lied to some guy you never knew and he just told you your whole past and your sin?
In my experience, when we soul win, when we're telling people the truth, and they're not really interested, when you say we're all sinners, they're saying, oh, you're so religious, you're such a good man, you guys are so religious, man, I have got to flatter you. They want to flatter you, shut you up. Happens all the time.
When you're caught, they do it all the time with the police. You get a ticket, you see somebody yelling, but they realize, oh, but officer, that's a really nice motorcycle you have, and I have a sticker on my bumper I give to the police alliance, and flattery. Look what she says. After he says, you've had five, and then you're telling the truth. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Pat, pat, pat. Switched into religion. When you tell someone, like right now, if you're not saved and you're sitting here, you're probably in your mind going, but I've been a deacon, I've done this, I've gone to church, I was baptized, I did a prayer. You're trying to list off stuff. Because when conviction comes, it's miserable. And so you're trying to get rid of it. She's trying to get rid of it. She shifts into religious gear. First she was in laziness gear, and then she shifted into religion gear. Look what she says. Our fathers, here we go with religion, worshipped in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. So here we go with religion. Over here, over there, over there. What they want to do is get you busy looking at all the garbage. So right now, if you're telling yourself you're saved because you were in some church, that's not the answer. Religion. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, look at verse 22, a very direct. Ye worship, ye know not what. You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're worshiping. You don't know what you're talking about. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am He. And upon this came His disciples, okay, and marveled that He talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest with her? Verse 28, and the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the man, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Now, I'm not going to go any farther in the story. The point is the woman broke. She shifted into religion. Her last chance, when you deal with people, they'll try to deny the sin, they'll try to flatter you, and then they'll pull out the religion card. Well, you know, once you've got them cornered and they know they're not getting out of that conversation, they'll start playing the religion card. Religion doesn't work. None of it. He finally said, I am Christ. She must have believed, because she drops her pot and goes into town and tells the whole town. Now, we're not going to read the rest because the whole town comes out. And they say, we don't believe because of her. She still has such a terrible testimony that they can't say we believe in Christ because of this, whatever you call it. They say because we saw ourselves. But my point is, she finally broke. She finally responded to Christ. She quit the excuses. She quit the religion. She quit the games. She had to in her heart say, I'm dead, busted, guilty sinner. I believe in Him. She had to. Now, that's about salvation. Two guys. Born again. Number two, what you might do when salvation was brought to you. Oh man, I've got my time. Okay. So let's refresh. I may not get to the growth. There's no way I have 5 minutes, so.
Salvation. Number one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. None. The wages of sin is death. Right? Death. God requires human death. The only payment you can give for your sin is you die.
I know when I told the Chinese church that up in Vancouver, you could feel the
crowd would like withdraw, and then you felt the pressure of resistance.
There was about 300 or 400 Chinese people in church, and they accidentally invited me to come tell them salvation.
And when I hit this, they were all good on sin. Okay, sin, but it's always somebody else, you know. And then they're religious. So when you say the wages of sin is death, the only thing God takes in payment for your sin is human death. Death. So we die and go to hell. But, remember the verse, but God so loved the world, He died for us. God, man. Pastor just talked about this week. Fully God, fully man. Had to be both. He couldn't be part of either. Fully both. God loved us so much. He required human death. He loved us so much He came and paid it for us. It's almost like if you had a debt with someone, you love them so much you actually go and pay it. But a million times more.
Christ, remember we talked about when He was crying in Gethsemane. When Christ was crying in Gethsemane,
it was because He was going to have to become sin, the thing He hates, and the Father turn away from Him temporarily. That's why.
He became sin for you. He died for you. That's why if you come along and you try to tell God,
I believe Jesus, but I'm going to get baptized and be good. I'm going to do. You've just, that Corinthians says, if you add anything, is it about baptism in Corinthians? I believe. If you add baptism to your salvation, you've made the cross of Christ of none effect.
Many people think they have to be baptized to be saved. Okay, I got to quit here. My question then, I didn't get to growth, whatever. Can't help it. The number one responsibility we have as a church is whenever anybody
does not hear all the time, we always cover salvation clearly. You have to. You have to. Now, for us that are saved,
I had a question. When the Word of God, any of this part of the Word of God was being read, did it bring any kind of conviction at all? If it does, take care of it. You don't need to come forward. Prayer. Fix it. If you're not fixing it, you're playing one of the games of the woman.
Well, you know, why you? But you don't understand my situation. Get honest with Him.
We're sinners. God requires death. God came as the Lord Jesus Christ, God, man, and paid that death. Resurrected the third day and said He would pay your account if you'll admit, like Pastor was saying in Sunday school, admit that you are dead, busted, guilty, and deserve hell. A sinner. Trust just what He did. The blood of Christ. The body of Christ. Christ offering for your sin. That's it. Nothing else. If you haven't done that, you have a one-way ticket. Straight to hell. It's not a threat. It's a promise. It's God's Word. As long as you're trying to pile something onto that, you still don't know Him. You're still in religion. We worship here. They worship there. He is living water. He is eternal life. And He comes in, but He won't come in until you admit you have nothing. Let's stand on our feet, please, as we pray. Dear Lord, again, we thank You for Your Word. I pray that You would impress upon our hearts the need of salvation. The blood of Christ only. Lord, peel back any religion, peel back any fleshly excuses we may try to use, peel back our blindness and our pride, expose all the way to the core that we're absolutely, we have no value whatsoever in us. We are children of Satan until we're born again. And Lord, for us that are saved, I pray that You would bring conviction in our lives, that we would allow You to control us. We would reckon the flesh dead and yield to You. We love You and thank You now. In Jesus' name.